You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The 22nd of 2025. The time is 9:07. Currently 46 degrees in downtown Wausau at our WXCO studios at the corner of Washington and North 3rd Street downtown. I am Chad Holmes, and it is the Chad Holmes Show, the final edition under this umbrella, but as I've said, not going anywhere. We're still going to be part of the morning show with Pat Kreitlow. We'll have local segments within our Pat Kreitlow program that starts tomorrow morning from 6 until 9 a.m. and then from 9 to 11, Matt and Air on Air. And I will be here along with Ian with local segments between 7 and 9 a.m. starting tomorrow morning. So again, we'll have more on this as we continue here this morning. But as we do every other week, we get a chance to talk to Robin Vargas from the Marathon County Public Library. And Robin, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Absolutely. We're into the, I mean, it hasn't really felt like it. It's still been too cold to be called spring,
but yeah,
doggone
yeah.
It, it's late April. We got to start turning things around. But there's one thing we can always count on is a lot of great activities at the Marathon County
That's
Public
right.
Library. How have things been going generally? Has it been pretty busy over there?
Things have been great. So last Saturday, I wanted to mention this. I had brought it up a couple weeks ago, our sourdough starter program that we were having at the library. That occurred last Saturday, I believe, maybe 2 weeks ago. I can't remember anymore. The point is, we had about 150 people show up for this event.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was a packed house. We just couldn't believe it. Every single chair in the room we had pulled out, and we still had people standing in the back waiting to hear about sourdough and wanting to learn more about it. And so we will be offering that one again in June. We heard the demand for it. But yeah, it was just amazing to see that many people and get them on into the library.
That must be an amazing feeling when you have an event, and mm-hmm. you're hoping that it goes well, and you hope that a lot of folks will stop on by, and when they just keep coming and they keep coming and they keep coming. I imagine that it just, in some ways, it makes everything a little bit more worthwhile. Obviously, you have great satisfaction in what you do at the library, but man, when you have something that just kind of blows you away, that must be very special.
Yeah, absolutely. And believe it or not, it was our event coordinator's first event at the library. And this is just something that she knows a lot about. She's passionate about sourdough, has a lot of knowledge. And she actually is a former teacher, and so she can present well in front of large groups of people. And so it was just, she did amazing, and it was, just really great to see that many people come out. So
it sounds like now a high bar for the future.
Yeah, well.
If she's for one here, it's going to be very, very difficult now to top, and when you're packing in the entire room like that. But and again, it just shows that when you do, sometimes when you think about, sourdough. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, but sometimes you don't know what just connects, right? I mean, and that's probably part of the fun is to, sometimes you'll have these ideas that may seem a little bit off the wall, but then it'll work. Maybe sometimes it won't work, but at the same time, you get great opportunities to try to bring maybe different things to the folks here in Central Wisconsin.
Exactly, yeah, for sure.
Anything else that's been going on that you want to mention before we look to the future?
Yeah, so not really programming-wise, but a new service that we're offering, Canopy Streaming Services. They offer a ton of educational content, foreign films, some award-winning films, a lot of a lot of great kids content, and the library has offered free streaming access to our library patrons.
Oh.
And so we have three packs that we're starting out with, a favorites pack, a series pack, so some TV shows, and then the kids pack, which, like I said, it has a ton of PBS stuff. Some old Sesame Street is on there. Mm. We've got some new stuff, Blippi, just a ton of great kids shows on there. But then they also have storybooks as well. Mo Willems, the Elephant and Piggy and the Pigeon, and all of those great characters that kids love. They have the books on there that they can read along with. And so folks can download the app either on your phone, your smart TV, however you download apps. You can access it on your computer as well. But just create a free account, log in with your library card number and PIN, and you're ready to go. Start watching some free shows.
Fantastic. By chance, I just pulled up your Facebook page and I see the pictures from your sourdough program. It was packed.
It was a packed house. Yep.
Some really cool pictures there. And again, a reminder for folks that if you hear something on this program when we're talking about some of these events, go to the Facebook page or go to mcpl.us to get further information as well.
Again,
we're talking to Robin Vargas from the Marathon County Public Library here on 98.9 WXCO. Well, let's look ahead. Obviously, things are always coming, and I'm sure there are things coming both to the main branch here in downtown Wausau and then all the other branches around the county.
Yeah, so here at Wausau, coming up this Saturday at our Wausau headquarters, April 26th, we have Plarn cording and macrame. Have you ever heard of Plarn, Chad?
I was going to try not to look like I was completely clueless about it, but I can say that I have never heard of that.
I don't think I had before either, to be honest. It's a new word for our vocabulary, but it's plastic yarn. And so we are making that out of plastic grocery bags. So I'm sure everyone's got their own stockpile of grocery bags at home that you save for whatever reason, but if you have too many, we're going to take those, and it's some kind of knitting that involves the plastic bags going into the making the plarn. But we'll show you how, and then we will take that plarn and use it to make either a macrame air plant hanger or a water bottle holder. And we will be providing the air plants. So come on down. You'll learn how to plarn, get rid of those plastic bags, make an air plant holder, and get a new plant for your house. So
very cool.
win all around.
When again is that?
That's this Saturday, April 26th at 2:30.
Very good. What else is happening?
Yeah, so jumping ahead to next week at our Wausau headquarters. I bring up our book sales a lot, but this is our next public book sale happening. Mm-hmm. So May 1st through May 3rd. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, pretty much anytime the library is open. Mm. If you are a member of the Friends group, you get early access on Wednesday night, April 30th. And then they are doing their $6 bag sale on Saturday again. So a paper grocery bag, fill it up with books, as many as you can fit in there for only $6. It's a great deal.
And by the way, it is really worth it to become a member, isn't it?
It really is. It's only $10 for the whole year, or $15 for a family.
I mean, that's nothing. And getting that little, just that little advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
Before somebody else gets in there and grabs some of the best stuff away.
You get to, pick out your treasures first.
And real fast, to become a member, is there anything, just stop on in?
When they're having their sale, and it's a couple questions on a piece of paper, and that's really all it takes.
Fantastic.
So less than a minute, you can get signed up.
So again, May 1st to the 3rd of the next public book sale.
Yeah.
All right, what else is on the list here? Because you always have such a long list of great stuff
I try to include it all, and we never have enough time.
But we try.
Yes, we sure do. We'll jump ahead to the branches a little bit. Out in Spencer this week, they've got a couple happening. So tomorrow, April 23rd, they have a What's Happening in Spencer is the title of the program. So it's the police chief and the Spencer Village Administrator are coming and giving a talk, kind of just giving some updates on what's been happening in the community, some things that are, what's to come, and have some time to answer questions from the audience. So if you're, in that area and want to know what's going on, head there on Wednesday. On Friday in Spencer, they have a spring handbell concert. So the Spencer High School, they have two groups of handbell ensembles, and they'll be performing at our Spencer location Friday, April 25th at 10:30. So free concert, all ages, come on down. And then hopping ahead to the next week, Monday, April 28th, they are having a card making event for the Honor Flight. So upcoming Honor Flight, they'll be making some thank you cards. That's Monday, April 28th from 3 to 6. If you can't make that one, we're also having it in Stratford the following day, April 29th from 3 to 6.
Sounds like Spencer's got it going on.
Yeah, yep. They've got a lot happening lately.
And that's, again, one of the cool aspects that of all your programming, you do bring it to the people.
Exactly.
Right, throughout the country, throughout the county. You don't have to come from Spencer all the way here to Wausau or something like that.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Have their own local branch.
Exactly right. And I know that there's other activities going on as well.
Yeah, out in Rothschild on May 1st, they have a presentation that I'm actually pretty interested in. And now that I look at it, I'm out of town that day, so I can't make it. It's a bummer.
Oh, geez.
But it's called Van Life, and it's all about the people choosing to live life out on the road in their van and how to do that, you know, how to maybe convert your van into your own tiny home and some of the joys and challenges of living life on the road. And so it sounds pretty interesting. And that one's at 5:30 on May 1st at Rothschild.
Man, even if you're not interested in living life on the road, it'd be very interesting to hear about the life that it is.
But some other experiences.
I mean, again, that's one of the things about the library generally, is you can find out about things that maybe you have not experienced yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether it's through the power of books or whether it's through the power of an event like that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
And what else before we got about 2 minutes to go? Make sure we hit on the important things before we wrap it up.
Yeah, we'll bounce over to Mosinee Monday, April 28th. They have a computer basics class on using the internet. So if you have maybe some family members in your life who are not there yet and need a little help, come on down to Mosinee. We do ask that you register for that one. You can just give the Mosinee branch a call. But that one will be a really big help. I know I heard at least one or two patrons here in Wausau in the last couple of weeks. My desk happens to be pretty close to the reference desk, and so I overhear things occasionally, but I heard an older patron say, I really need some help using a computer, and didn't really know where to start. And we said, you know, we can give you some basics, but here's this class as well that'll be a really good tool for you to have and to be able to learn from that.
And that's so wonderful, because sometimes when you think, well, everybody knows this but me, and it can be sometimes hard to even come up to a reference desk
exactly.
like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Fantastic. Again, that's a really cool aspect of what you guys do at the library as well. In our last minute, make sure we hit on what else is happening.
Edgar, tomorrow, April 23rd, from 4 to 5:30, they're making some felt flower decor. So if you're feeling crafty, head on over to Edgar. And then we'll hop forward to next weekend at our Wausau headquarters. We've got two events on Saturday, May 3rd. In the morning for kids, we have a migratory bird celebration from 9:30 to 11. We're going to have some special guests from the Wausau Bird Club come on down to teach us and, you know, have some hands-on crafts and games and things like that. So that'll be fun. And then starting at 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we have Marathon County Family Trivia. So trivia all about Marathon County. Maybe what was Wausau's original name? What popular cheese was invented in Marathon County? I don't know.
Got to wrap it up right there.
All right.
MCPL.us and follow on Facebook.
That's right.
Robin, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chat Home Show 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We got a text from Julie in Wausau talking about the mayor and his appointment of four new members of the ethics board that will not be put onto the board at this point because the city council said they're not going to approve them at this point because they want to get through this ethics investigation of the mayor. But Julie from Wausau says, although the mayor has revealed himself to be a bully like Trump, Wausau is fortunate to have a city council that does its job and doesn't cave into him. The Republican Congress has been missing in action. And that's, I think, a very true point. Because,
Julie, thank you for sending that in.
Because, you know, when you look at it, the only way that people like Trump or any chief executive in this position, whether it's the mayor of Wausau, mayor of other communities, governors of states, president of the United States, is able to force through a lot of their,
regulations,
ideas,
standards,
and is how much will the legislative branch let them do it? And I think we've seen in the case of the Congress of the United States, they've allowed the president to be able to do pretty much what he wants to do without much pushback, you know, not pushing back on the tariffs or anything like that at this point. But then you look at what's happened in the city of Wausau when the mayor back in February made that appointment of the Tom Tiffany staffer to become a member of the ethics board. The board said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to change the board in the midst of this investigation at this point, and then for the mayor to put out this press release yesterday announcing the four new members that he wants to put on there, including two far-right Republicans. I think that at this point that is, for lack of a better term, dead on arrival for this point in our process. But once the current...
You're quoting Robin Voss there.
I know. I almost feel dirty doing that. But, but I think at the point of the end of this ethics investigation, we will see perhaps then the discussion go on, and hopefully there'll be some sort of meeting of the minds between the mayor and the council and try to get folks that will be good stewards of that position and be able to do the job in a fair and impartial way. So again, it's a news story that will continue to be on the forefront as we continue. Also, again, just want to remind folks that starting tomorrow, there is a new schedule going into effect here on Civic Media and 98.9 WXCO. We will have Pat Kreitlow's program being rebranded to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 until 9 a.m., and we will be part of that program. Again, this show under its current umbrella is ending, but we will be part of that program. We will be doing live local segments here from our studios in Wausau. We will be doing interviews and talking about the news and talking about events and talking about area sports, everything else that we do on this show. We will be doing, but in a different way starting tomorrow. So make sure you tune in from 6 till 9 for Pat's show. We will be part of the show from 7 until 9 a.m. And
we'll still have our number of the day, a quiz. Hopefully, we just don't know when.
And I hope so, because I am getting some notes here, and there's like technical stuff in terms of trying to set it up. So the idea is tomorrow we're going to smoothly go into it, but make sure that you tune in, and hopefully we'll be able to smoothly transition right into it starting tomorrow. And then Matt and Air on.
Bear with us.
Yeah, I know. When change happens and when you change a lot of the logs and the technical aspects, especially with programming going from around the state, we will be doing local segments here from Wausau. Earl Ingram will be doing local segments from Milwaukee on WAUK. You got other stations as well around the state that will be doing local segments. So there's a lot of moving pieces for this new morning show that will be kicking off tomorrow morning on Civic Media and stations around the state of Wisconsin.
Indeed.
But then Jane Matinere and Greg Bach, Matinere on Air, will be moving up an hour, 9 to 11 a.m. tomorrow. Tom Hartman program will be on from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Todd Alba moving back 2 hours. Todd will have his show on from 2 until 4 tomorrow. In fact, today, Todd will have his final noon till 2 program, and he's doing it live from Governor Nelson State Park. And Governor Gaylord Nelson, who is also a senator from Wisconsin, both a governor and a senator, he is the man behind Earth Day. He's the originator.
Oh.
So Todd is doing the show from Governor Nelson State Park down
Very
near the state
cool.
capitol. And there'll be a special Earth Day presentation from noon until 2. And then Todd will begin his new time slot tomorrow from 2 until 4. And then finally, the Maggie Dawn Show also moving back 2 hours. She will be on from 4 until 6 every weekday starting tomorrow. So, again, it's a situation where there's going to be a lot of moving pieces. And hopefully, you know, the best way to do it is just tune in all day. Wake up in the morning, tune us in, keep it on all throughout the day, and keep us on right into the evening and even beyond that. So, again, we'll have some changes, but it's still going to be a lot of the same voices you've heard, but just different little time slots and different ways of doing it. So,
that's right.
And, again, we will be around. We will still be part of the production here at Civic Media. Coming up, we have a information update. We do it at the top and the bottom of every hour. Give you the news, the weather, the sports, and entertainment as well. That is coming up. And then after that, we will have some guests coming into the studio. We will be talking to WASA Sustainability, Energy, and Environment Committee member Jay Coldwell, along with Ben Lee of the Hunger Coalition as well. So that's coming up. And then, of course, we will have our final segment with our history lesson and our number for the day quiz, and I forgot I was going to do it this segment to let you know what the topic is about. You're going to go in cold today. We're going to
surprise me.
We will. I will give it to you at the start of the segment, so you have at least a few minutes to kind of stew on it at the end of that. So, yeah, still plenty to come. The time is 9:28. Overcast skies here in downtown Wausau. Temperature stands at 46 degrees. I am Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, and also on YouTube, youtube.com and the 98.9 WXCO channel on YouTube. And if you're watching on YouTube, you see not just me around the table right now. We are full of folks around the table and very happy to welcome to our program Jay Coldwell, who's a member of the WASA Sustainability, Energy, and Environment Committee, Ben Lee from the Hunger Coalition, and Kat Becker from Cattails Organics. And all of you, thank you for coming on in this morning. We're going to be talking about food here a lot here this morning. Before we actually start talking about some of the issues, can we talk a little bit about the organizations that you're working for? And let's start with Ben, Hunger Coalition. What is the Hunger Coalition here in Central Wisconsin? What do you do, number one?
Yes.
And if you make sure to get that microphone turned towards you as you talk.
So we are, the Hunger Coalition is a program of United Way of Marathon County, and it's the arm of all of our food week, or all of our food work. So affectionately, we refer to ourselves as food people. Mm-hmm. And we treat it as an internal funded program at United Way of Marathon County. So grassroots coalition made up of 18 community members that are all striving to do the same thing, get people access to fresh and healthy food.
And Kat Becker, Cattails Organics. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I am the owner and operator of Cattail Organics, which is a small, diversified family farm in northwestern Marathon County. We're located in Athens, and I've been here for almost 20 years. It's my 20th farming season, and I have been partnering with Ben for the last five years, kind of since the pandemic, on a lot of fresh forward local food for our community. So that's a big part of what we do, and part of what we're really passionate about for our community.
And Jay Coldwell, WASA Sustainability, Energy, Environment Committee. We've had members of your committee on over the last couple of months. Could you talk a little bit about the connection between the committee and groups like our fellow guests here this morning?
Sure. Yeah. The Sustainability Committee has a really broad mandate. It's like anything that you can imagine that would have any impact on sustainability into the future. And food, of course, is one of those. We know that there's a lot of challenges coming up climate-wise and food supply and distribution chains and so on. And so we want to do what we can do to encourage a healthy local farmer group and providing food to our own community.
It's, I think, what some folks would think. What? There's a challenge involving food and production, and especially you call it the high quality food. And I thought with Ben and Kat, could you talk a little bit about what the challenges are within your organizations that you're seeing when it comes to availability of quality foods and maybe what your focus is on within your groups?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing, the biggest hurdle that the Hunger Coalition had to kind of bounce was the cost. It is a little bit more expensive for people to access that kind of food, but we think it's a well worth investment. And so the community has loudly agreed with that. The program started as a $10,000 program that we run with the farms, and today it's over $108,000 5 years later. And so the big barrier was making people understand just kind of the nuances when it comes to food, that food isn't always a reactive situation, right? We have to make intentional strategies and invest the dollars in our community and in our local farms to make sure that people have the highest quality food. And so for us, that was the biggest thing, was getting people to understand why we were making this investment instead of maybe taking the cheap route sometimes.
And Kat, you've kind of dedicated your life to this. Okay. Ooh. And
small technical difficulty.
No, that's not your fault. And yeah, we got to screw that thing, that baby back in. But Kat, you said it. You kind of dedicated your life to this.
Yeah, I mean, our farm has always been focused on community in our region as the area that we provide food for. And we've always felt really strongly about increasing access to that food. And we do that through a variety of ways. But this partnership, and I know we'll talk a little bit about the LFPA program, have been ways to impact those that have the most restricted access. And I think one of the most amazing things that came out of the pandemic, let's talk about the positive parts of the pandemic, was
the silver
lining,
right?
That I think that people started to recognize that those who need good food the most deserve it. And I think that that's a big shift in terms of how people think about food aid. I mean, if you've been to food banks at all, visited or volunteered or participated in getting food for them, you might notice that there has been a shift across the United States, but especially in this region, from kind of boxed stuff, the cheapest food, to a more fresh forward food. So, fresh vegetables, but also access to proteins like meat and dairy. And those are the things that people actually want to feed their families the most. And so giving people access to that. And we know the outcomes from feeding people good food, especially school children, are really high. And so giving people who are in crises, who are less stable, who, can't meet their food budget month to month, access to those things, I think, is a foundation for our community to be healthier far into the future. We're investing in people's health and also people's stability. You can feel really good about cooking a fresh meal, whether you have means to go shopping at the farmer's market or be in the CSA or go to a grocery store like Downtown Grocery, or if you're visiting food banks. And I think that, that's what I've loved most about this program, but also just a shift in people's mentality about food.
Let's talk about LFPA and the funding and the importance of it. And I guess, Jay, do you want to jump in here? Maybe for folks who are just not familiar with it, what is LFPA funding?
I think I'll lateral back to these guys. They're neck deep in it, at least.
Okay.
Yeah. So LFPA stands for Local Food Purchase Assistance, and I've talked about LFPA so much I can reduce it down to a very simple explanation of the program. The USDA pays farmers to give me food. And so instead of me paying the farms like we do in some of our other programs, the USDA allocates these grants, you could call them, out to farmers. And then the farmers get to choose where their food is going. And we've built such a good relationship with our farmers in Marathon County that a lot of them chose us. Some also choose schools, and that's just as valuable as me. And so then we take that food and we distribute it out to over 27 food access partners. So kind of the old way of just maybe stocking a pantry isn't enough anymore. We have to meet people where they are, and where people are picking their kids up from the Boys and Girls Club, picking their kids up from the YMCA, the Hmong American Center, things like that. And so then our job is to kind of take that food and get it distributed widely out into the community. And so one of the things I'm most proud of is we watch LFPA orders. We watch where they go. We've never wasted a pound of it. Mm-hmm. It's always gone out the door within 24 hours.
It kind of brings up a question, and I really don't know the answer, because when you talk about grants and funding and you talk about waste, we've been hearing a lot of those words being thrown around. Is there concern right now in your communities in terms of funding and making sure that this continues to be a vibrant program?
Yeah, so I will say LFPA, which was a program that was supposed to continue for another year, so basically May to May, May 2025 through 2026, is terminated by the USDA. So the USDA has terminated that program. The reason it's gotten a lot of attention is because a lot of farmers, both in Wisconsin, which is probably one of the most northern growing environments, and then all the way into the American South, had already been planning and planting food for that. And so the attention it got was basically that farmers had already invested in that, they had hired employees, they had done all of the things based on the idea that the money had been appropriated for this program. And different states run these programs differently. The money goes from the federal government to the state, and then the state disperses the funds. But in Wisconsin, I mean, Ben can talk about the impacts a little bit. It's a significant impact in the volume of food that will go out to food banks, because there is not funding replacing that. And it is also a program that was relatively inexpensive from a USDA standpoint. If you look at the total amount of the USDA budget, it was drops in the bucket, but very large impacts, both for farmers economically, having a contract and knowing exactly what you're going to grow. Two other things I just want to mention about LFPA fast while we're on the air. One of them is, people have asked me this question over and over again, is that farmers aren't determining their own price. So people are like, can farmers just charge whatever they want? No. There's a program, there's basically a process by which there's a price ceiling and then a recommended price floor for farmers. And so in Marathon County, we can decide if that price works for us for a given crop. So most farms were producing between like 4 and 20 different crops for the program. The other thing I want to mention is that currently in the state of Wisconsin, there is an attempt to get the LFPA program into the state budget. And there has been an impetus for doing this with other programs in the past. And in fact, I would have expected this to happen in the next budgeting cycle for LFPA when the USDA program was phased out. But now this is kind of a more reactive emergency situation, because the state normally plans far in advance to bring those programs into its own purview. And so if you are going to budget hearings, you can contact the Wisconsin Farmers Union, which is the state organization that has all the information on what the LFPA would look like in the budget. But there is a chance for us to save this program at a state level, which I think is incredibly powerful for all levels of food aid organizations, but also many farmers. There are lots of farmers, both in Marathon County and around the state, where this represented 45 or 50% of their wholesale. For us, we're fortunate that it was less than that. It was about a fifth or of our sales. But for some of these smaller farms, you're talking about a huge impact on their well-being as well. So there's reasons to think about that.
You've talked about trying to, you know, get the food to the people. You're talking about going to the people, and also in terms of the farming aspect of it as well. Jay, you'd sent me, you know, again, some notes about this, and talked about a farm stop. Could you explain to me what that means and how that would improve maybe all aspects of this?
Yeah, one of the, as Kat mentioned, one of the key parts of the LFPA program was it provided a base of revenue and inform them a lot as to what they needed to plant, and so that stability is really important. They're not dependent on the weather and on the farmer market, you know, and if it rained out 3 weekends in a row, you know what happens. So one thing that started to come up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, I think, was a pioneer of this, is something called a farm stop, which is basically a grocery store for small local farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmers provide their produce, that the store is open, normal business hours virtually every day. Farmers get in that program, they get 70% of the revenue. They price their own products themselves. And so it's, you know, it's another piece of, you know, the revenue pie, you know, for a farmer, and could be part of something that really develops a virtuous cycle locally, where there's more local food produced, more local food consumed, and we become more independent as an entity. You know, maybe someday we could eat, almost all of our food could come from a 50-mile radius of Wausau, which would bring us a lot of resilience, you know, and as a sustainability committee member, that's something I'm really interested in.
And as a farmer yourself, Kat, we got about a minute before a break, and maybe if you can stick around maybe for a few more minutes, this time goes by so quickly. How does that sound to you?
I mean, I think developing outlets for distribution and a more resilient food system is necessary at this point. We saw during COVID that the food system, especially north of Highway 29 and Highway 64, for fresh food almost collapsed completely. And so we know that there's weaknesses in the food system locally. I think the Farm Stop is one model for that. I would like to say the Hunger Coalition right now basically is the model for a Farm Stop, but for food aid. And so there's a lot of lessons to learn from the way that they have centralized refrigeration, they have distribution, they go to smaller outlets. The other model is a food hub. So we're members of the Wisconsin Food Hub Cooperative, as is Red Door Family Farm, which is one of our partners. And there are some of us, including us and Red Door Family Farm, currently working on being a mini food hub. So basically helping aggregate food from other farmers in our neighborhood and helping distribute that both locally and at the state level. I mean, there's a lot of components, and it takes a lot to build this. You know, I mentioned I've been here for 20 years. I think a lot has happened since COVID. There's been a lot of movement. Partially because of federal money that's allowed people to actually invest in those distribution systems,
right,
and refrigeration systems and other things. But I think the Farm Stop is one really good model. And I think trying out multiple models and seeing what works best in a community is great. And I think it's important what Jay mentioned about the farmers market. I think farmers markets are wonderful. They're a great entrance point, but there are very many professional growers.
Hey, Kat, we got a hard break here. We'll come back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. Our final segment here this morning. In fact, our final segment for this show as we know it, as things will be changing tomorrow. But we're talking to Jay Coldwell, Ben Lee, and Kat Becker. And Ben, you were making some points during the break that I think that people need to hear, because in terms of trying to find the right answers here, you were just saying, hey, there's some things to think about as well.
Yeah, I love the concept of a farm stop. My dream is to open a corner grocery store that just serves fresh produce to the neighborhood that it exists in. Unfortunately, human behavior tells us different. Less than 1% of all the SNAP users in Marathon County go and use their SNAP benefits at the farmers market. And so that was telling us, well, they're not coming here, and so we need to take the produce out of the farmers market and bring it to them. And so that's where we came up with this CSA idea, where the Hunger Coalition purchases 200 CSAs a week from Cattail and Red Door. We package the product with volunteers, and then we deliver it to food access partners so they can get it to the people. I always say, when it comes to shoulds, people should be going to the farmer's market. They should get to know their farmer. But I also have to operate in, are they though? And they're not. And so I think maybe the next phase of this is, to Jay's point, how do we build walls around it? How do we kind of create a consistent place for these folks to go and access something like this?
And really, for everyone, you know,
yeah,
not, low income only, but
oh yeah, yeah. Our focus is low income, but like right. I believe everybody should have access to fresh produce. CSA's changed my life. I want them to change everybody's life.
And Jay, real fast before we wrap things up, is the governmental aspect. You're part of a committee within the city, but obviously there's, you know, limits to what a committee can do, and even when you get even up the chain. How can the partnership, and when you hear good ideas, and it sounds as though, man, there's a lot of things that you think you could do, but you also need some of the tools to be able to make it happen. How do you, as somebody maybe on the governmental side, look at in terms of trying to take some of the ideas that you hear from either from Ben and his work with the Hunger Coalition or with Kat within her farm to try to bring it all together? Because I mean it's pretty complex, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can bet that we're not going to be funded a lot of money to do something this through the city, right?
Right.
So I think it's somewhat of a communication coordination role, visibility role, helping to make sure that the council is aware of these issues. As the council becomes more aware and its importance in developing community. I mean, we really have to come together as a much stronger community to meet the challenges of the next few decades. This will start to arise in the city's political environment. But there may, who knows, there may be a city building somewhere that could be used. There may be other infrastructure that could be used at little or no cost to the city. So we just need to explore the options.
And I guess finally, Ben and Kat, maybe some final thoughts on, you know, I think you said, frankly, I've learned a lot that I had not heard of, to be honest with you. I guess for folks out there tuned in, final things to think about as we move forward and the importance, again, of food, of healthy food, of where we're going in the future. I guess final thoughts.
Yeah, I'll give some data, and I'll let Kat give the emotional plea. I think she does better at that than I do. Wisconsin is losing $5 million of LFPA funding. In Marathon County, that turns into about $125,000 to $150,000 a year in food that I do not have to give to Food Access Partners anymore. Mm-hmm. Nonprofits can't be expected to shoulder the weight. We have finite budgets. We can only raise so much in the community and feel good about it before you're badgering people.
Sure.
And so it's my opinion that the government has to step in here. The state has to step in. This is a crucial program. And so we'll be there Tuesday, April 29th at NTC at the public hearing sessions. And I was privileged enough to have a one-on-one with Governor Evers and talk about LFPA. And the signaling looks good. I think we're going to get something, but it's not going to be $5 million. That's where we're at right now. And what I always say is feeding kiddos good food isn't a political issue. It's just an issue that we all have to rally around. So,
and Kat, final thoughts?
Yeah, I will. People have asked me a lot about, like, what to do. Are farms okay? How do we help? So I will give you my action items. Number one, either go to the budget hearing, which is conveniently in Wausau.
For once.
And speak about LFPA or just submit comments. Wisconsin Farmers Union also has form letters and language for sending letters to representatives or for the hearing. So Wisconsin Farmers Union has that information, and you can contact them directly or look on their social media. The other one is, which I know Ben isn't pleading for here, but is support the Hunger Coalition. So people have asked us about, you know, giving money to our farm. Don't give money to our farm. I like money, but give money to the Hunger Coalition. They, first of all, can allow you to write it off. We're a private business. They are not. But also, they can direct it where they most need the food. And we trust their judgment to do that well for our community and work with a variety of farmers. And then the other one is, you know, support local farmers. So farmers market is one way to do it. Another big one is joining a CSA. We have wonderful CSAs in our area. So joining a CSA is a really significant one, and support local businesses that buy local. Downtown Grocery does a lot of local purchasing. Red Eye is probably the pioneer restaurant that we work with that does a lot of sourcing. I mean, Van Acre also does source a lot locally. But, you know, ask about local produce at local businesses, connect them with local farms, and, you know, send that message, because there's going to be a lot of farms, not just ourselves in Red Door, that have extra food this year. We'd love to be able to send it all to Ben, and that would be great. But if we can't, building out those markets, this is an opportunity to to do that. So those are all things you can do locally. Do something locally.
Jay Coldwell, Ben Lee, Kat Becker, thank you all for joining us. And finally, in our last 20 seconds, again, this is the end of this show. Tomorrow we'll be part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, so tune in from 6 till 9. It's been a pleasure for the last 2.5 years hosting this show. Appreciate everybody and the support you've had. We'll talk to you tomorrow during Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.